Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, good Monday to each and every one of you, and what a joy it is to be able to come to you with another edition of Stand in the Gap Today. And, of course, along with Sam Rohr and David Kistler, I am Gary Dahl, and we do want to thank you for the pleasure of your company wherever you might be, as they used to say, from coast to coast and border to border and around the world and whatever. We are delighted to have you with us. Of course, there's a lot going on in the world today, and we will be talking about that on the program today. And I think that, we are just jam-packed with information that we want to share with you. And before we go too much further, though, talking about the news of the weekend, the news of the hour, Dave Kistler, you were at an event on Saturday at Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina, with Ted Cruz and a few others. Why don't you share a little bit about that and encourage us somewhat if you can?
Well, Gary, I'll be delighted to. Yes, this was called the Rally for Religious Freedom. It was hosted by Senator Ted Cruz in Greenville, South Carolina, on the campus of Bob Jones University. Speaking with him at the event were five persecuted Christians. And when I say persecuted Christians, I mean people that have sustained either loss of a job, loss of their business as a result of their Christian faith, one of whom was the Bremerton, Washington High School coach, Joe Kennedy, that we have talked about a lot on this program. And Gary, I want to say this. It was a very well-organized event. The messages were incredibly powerful, but the climax of the entire day was Cruz's keynote address at the end of the day, and he probably spoke for 40 to 45 minutes. I've always appreciated his biblical faith, his constitutional commitment, but I want to tell you this, Gary. I have never been more impressed than I was on Saturday with what Ted Cruz had to say. He did not give a speech. He gave a sermon. And it was absolutely amazing. And during that message that he delivered, he talked about, I'll say it this way. He used very appropriately applied scriptural references. His logic from a constitutional standpoint and the arguments he made were just outstanding. He peppered it with his sense of humor here and there throughout, which made it phenomenally well received by the almost 4,000 people that were there at the event. And Gary, I just want to say this, and this is not an endorsement at all, but the bottom line is this. We need, as a president of the United States, a man of character, conviction, wisdom, and a man who is a passionate leader to be our next president. And I certainly saw every bit of that on full display this past Saturday in Ted Cruz.
Well, you know, I think he's one that more and more people are looking at, and I think in time he is going to appear to be much stronger. And we just, again, need to continue to pray that God gives us the man who's going to be strong, who's going to be honest, who's going to be focused, who's going to understand our Constitution and understand the Word of God. And really, those are the qualifications or some of the qualifications that we need to pray for. By the way, also in studio today, we have Jim O'Brien with us, and he knows a lot about national security. He just looks like he's a national secure person.
I'm not sure what that looks like, Gary.
I'm not sure. But glad to have you, Jim.
It's good to be here, Gary.
And along with Jim is Pastor Jeremy Lundmark. Jeremy's been with us before. Quite an intelligent fellow himself. Jeremy, welcome back to Stand in the Gap.
Thanks. Appreciate it. I don't know about intelligent, but we'll go with it.
Well, I think that you are. Sam, my. Such a tragedy taking place over in Paris, France over the weekend. I think that they're telling us now that there's at least 129 who are killed and 352 injured. And at least one of the perpetrators was a refugee from Syria. I've heard some discussions that there might be two of them. But, and of course there's a lot that we can talk about as it relates to what took place over there in Paris, France the other day. But, you know, in a couple of recent statements, our president, Barack Obama, still continues to say that he wants to bring 10,000 refugees from Syria into the United States of America by the end of the year. Now, to me, that's absurd. It's ridiculous. Why is he so focused on doing that, Sam?
Well, Gary, you cannot separate the fact that his focus on doing that is also focused on the fact that he cannot say Islamic terrorist. It's the fact that he cannot and will not say the certain incursions that have other occasions where things have happened in this country that, in fact, they were caused by jihadists here on our soil. It's the same thing that causes him to make a deal with Iran. It's the same thing that causes him to do these. I mean, Gary, it's all wrapped up together. It's a mindset that is not primarily driven by concern for the security of these United States and the preservation of our constitutional rule of law. It's pursued by other things. And so, Gary, what's happening here? And that nonsense of bringing in people who are not qualified, bringing in people who are not filtered, bringing in people who are, in fact, Muslims and from the Middle East at a time where this is taking place, is the same thing that with the same kind of unexplainable reason in many regards, although I think there's a reason for it, Europe has been bringing them in by the same mark. It seems like the Western world and the Western leaders, the European Union, and this and over here in these United States are dead set on absolutely destroying Western culture as we know it and then standing back and saying, how can it happen? How did it happen? We had no way of knowing. Gary, they have every way of knowing. It's purposeful. I'll just stop right there for right now.
Well, and, you know, even in light of that, I mean, you know, over the past weekend, we have been seeing that ISIS, they've been sending out communications indicating that, you know, places like Washington, D.C. must be aware. And, of course, I think that our government, to a certain degree, has put us on a higher alert. But the fact of the matter is, it just doesn't make any sense for Obama to be going along with his continued policy, even saying that ISIS is contained and supporting that in the speech that he gave over to G20. Of course, he said they're contained because they don't cover as much territory as they did last year this time. But, Jim, you're involved with national intelligence. I mean, this just does not sink. If you're trying to strengthen our country, it appears to me as though Obama wants to destroy our country.
Gary, if you look at the, you know, if you go to the hospital and you have a problem, you go to the hospital, and what do? They look at symptoms. They check your blood pressure. They check the content, the chemistry of your blood. They check, you do an MRA. They put you in a tunnel, and they do all sorts of searches on your body. And if you look at Obama's life under a microscope, if you will, or under an MRA kind of a thing, you'll discover that this man is a socialist, if not even more extreme than that. And I believe he's even more extreme than that. And he's been trained by Bill Ayers. He's been trained by his pastor, quote-unquote pastor, who basically said, God damn America. I don't like to use that word. And this is, I think, so inculcated into his character. I don't even know if he is aware of it, but it's driving his political decisions to the point where we're going down in flames unless somehow we get this country back to where it needs to be. I was watching the presentation that the president gave. I'll talk a little bit more about it after the break, but there's some interesting thoughts there.
There are some interesting thoughts, and of course, you know, he just wrapped up his speech over there at the G20, and we do have some observations about that we want to share with you, and just a lot of information today, ladies and gentlemen, so don't go away. We'll be gone for about 4 minutes, then we'll be back with more Stand in the Gap Today from the American Pastors Network. So please stay tuned.
I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. If you're a parent or grandparent and want to help bring spiritual renewal to America, here's where you should start, with your children and grandchildren. Our children need a godly education, one that mirrors the Christian values embraced by our founders and taught in the home by many of you. BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, makes homeschooling fun and exciting. Exceeding all national standards, BJU Press textbooks are accurate, dependable, and well-researched. They're designed to promote excellence for
every child and are adaptable to different learning styles and challenges. Carefully integrating a true biblical worldview throughout BJU Press textbooks set the standard for academic instruction. That's why I so strongly endorse BJU Press textbooks and encourage their use by homeschoolers and Christian schools alike. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. That's bjupresshomeschool.com.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America, using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty. This patriotic hymn was written by Samuel Francis Smith, who died this day, November 16, 1895. A classmate at Harvard with the poet Oliver Wendell Holmes, he became a Baptist minister and a professor. While in seminary, Samuel heard the national anthems for England, Sweden, and Russia. He sat down and within a half an hour wrote, My Country, 'tis of thee. The fourth verse reads, Our Father's God, to thee, author of liberty, to thee we sing. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God, our King.
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
This new Common Core assignment, I'm supposed to read all about global warming and how we're polluting the air just by breathing. I held my breath 10 times today because I don't want to hurt those poor polar bears.
Oh, honey, don't you worry. There are 4 times as many polar bears now than when I was a kid. You can breathe safely because you're not polluting anything. That's just another government scheme cooked up to tax and control people.
But it's right here in my Common Core book, Grandma. I'll get a bad grade if I say that. What shall I do?
Get Common Core out of your state. If you would make this your one and only project, you could change the country. But we can only make this change if we're willing to stand together. Learn more about federal Common Core and Pennsylvania Core standards and call your representatives today. Ask them to stop the national takeover of education. Go to PARestoringEducation.org or call Richard at 484-678-2236. This message brought to you by Pennsylvanians Restoring Education.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap Today, and along with Dave Kistler and Sam Rohr, I'm Gary Dahl, but also in the studio today, we've got Jim O'Brien and Jeremy Lundmark, and we're delighted to have you with us wherever you might be, and we would encourage you to go to our Stand in the Gap radio website from time to time, that is, simply standinthegapradio.com, for 2 reasons. We encourage that. Number 1 is because you can correspond with us there. And then secondly, just become familiar with it, because when you are away from the radio to which you normally listen, well, and if you have a computer, you can pick us up there, as there is a link to our anchor station, which is WFYL in the Philadelphia area. But certainly we are delighted to have you there and are delighted that you can join us Monday through Friday at the same time on this particular radio station to which you are listening today. It's interesting to note that days after coming under intense criticism for saying that ISIS has been contained in Iraq and Syria, President Obama today over at the G12 stuck by his United States strategy for fighting the terror group and defending the fact that he said that in reality ISIS is contained. However, he did go on to say that the president, the goal that he has right now is to degrade and ultimately destroy, in his words, this barbaric terrorist organization. Now, we're going to talk a little bit more about that and talk about some of the lessons that we can learn from what happened in Paris, France over the weekend. But, Sam, that's about the strongest language I've ever heard from Barack Obama. The fact that his ultimate goal is to degrade and ultimately destroy this barbaric terrorist organization. Do you really believe that?
No, not at all, Gary. And I don't think that we can, nor anyone who believes it, believe a lie. Reason is that there has been no intent to do so from the beginning. There was no intent. There has been no intent to destroy, because at the end of the day, this administration's primary goal is the removal of Assad. We've covered it on this program. They've made it very clear. It's not the destruction of the terrorist elements in the Middle East. And frankly, how can you say that it is when, in fact, you are being advised by Muslim Brotherhood people who are right here, and you cannot separate the Muslim Brotherhood from Al-Qaeda to ISIS or what other name that they are in. And frankly, the whole thing, to me, is a big part of a ruse, gentlemen, because they try to separate the moderate terrorists from those who are really bad to those who are the really, really bad ones who change from day to day. At the end of the day, they have one thing in common, destruction of Israel and the United States and Western world. And how in the world do we think that we can make a friend of those people, which is what our foreign policy says, and that we can use these people in some legitimate fashion to wage war there in the Middle East? It's a fouled up and a failed policy from the beginning, Gary. No, I do not believe it any more than anything else that this president has said.
And at the same time, Dave, he said this in dealing with ISIS. He said it will take time, and he went on to insist that the United States has not underestimated the ISIS threat. Your comments, Dave.
Well, Gary, that's absolutely absurd for him to make that kind of comment. Shortly after the attack in Paris on Friday, there were numbers of media people, Gary, that began to make the connection and talk about the fact that we have a problem with Islamic extremism. And, Gary, that is the problem. The connection here should have been made a long time ago. And so for the president to make the kind of comments that you just referenced, Gary, are beyond absurd. There is a complicity that this president, I fear, has with those Islamic elements because of his upbringing that are going to be the absolute undoing of the United States of America unless the leadership in Congress stands up and demands that at this point something be done. The American people need to rise up and demand that something be done. Gary, my fear has been this, and I'm not trying to be an alarmist at all, but when all of this began to unfold on Friday afternoon and Friday evening, my thought was this. Is this the foreshadowing? Is this a trigger to announce something that's going to happen in a short amount of time within the United States of America? I will say this. We are more vulnerable to this kind of attack in the United States than we have ever been under the absolutely stunning lack of leadership on the part of Barack Obama.
So our listeners are sitting out there by the radio and computer, David, and they're saying, what is the number one lesson we must learn from what took place over in Paris?
Well, Gary, number one, we need to stop all of these refugees that are coming from Syria from coming in the United States. The president says he wants to bring 10,000 at least, into the United States. That needs to stop and stop immediately.
Yeah, David, if I could interject, that 10,000 the president said in his speech today They wanted to have them in the country before the end of the year. That's basically 6 weeks. So if you look at trying to process at least 10,000 Syrians to make sure that they're all legitimate and not connected, it's impossible. It's absolutely impossible.
It is, Sam, and or Jim. That's one of the things that's been – sorry about that, brother. Sorry. That's one of the things that's been noted by a number of people within the security apparatus. How are we going to check appropriately to make sure that these people are not ISIS entities? The other thing, Gary, we need to do is this. We need to detain anybody that's connected with a rabid form of Islam, and they, I believe, need to be immediately deported. And then, Gary – a conversation, an honest discussion about what can be done about this evil ideology called Islam. We've got to have the conversation.
Jim?
Well, I think, Gary, that John Kasich, I don't know if you saw him on the on television about the same time, a little bit after, I believe, that the president spoke. And I'm not necessarily trying to support John Kasich because there, I think there are some other candidates that are even more qualified. But anyway, I won't get into that. But he did have some very good ideas. And one of them was to basically implement Article 5 of the NATO agreement that we have with Turkey. Turkey is by far the most Muslim of all the NATO nations. In fact, it's really the only Muslim nation. They're about 99% Muslim. And here they are, a member of NATO. And he feels that what we need to do is trigger that Article 5, which means all members of NATO, all, I don't know how many it is, like 20 or 25 maybe nations, maybe more than that now with the Eastern Bloc that came in, to unify, to start going after ISIS as an entity and not just the U.S. alone or Turkey alone or whatever it happens to be. He also suggested that we set up a no-fly zone, okay, over Syria, which basically says if you fly in this area, we're shooting you down. We don't care who you are. Which I think makes a lot of sense. Of course, the Russians over there need to know that too, else we'll be in trouble with them. But he also suggested that we need to support the Kurds, who are, of course, at war with some of the other Muslims. You know, there's different kinds of Islam, but the thing we need to recognize there is that they have this philosophy that an enemy of my enemy is my friend. So they all have a common enemy in Israel. So I can see them joining up even later. So I'm not sure how much good the Kurds would do in the long term. Short term, they might be able to help. But also control the finances of these people that are across the common market in Israel, in Europe, in the United States, and of some other places that are friendly to us. So, you know, there's a lot of things that we can do that we're not doing. To cut their legs off, at least.
Sam, you know, you heard what Jim just said there. And, you know, in light of that, Saturday night, it was Hillary Clinton on the Democratic debate who basically said, you know, this really, how'd she put that? This really isn't an American war, or we don't want to fight this here in America, or whatever the case may be. And one of the other candidates come along and said, it is something that we must fight. Sam, your thoughts on that?
Well, obviously, it is something that we must fight, you know, but Hillary is certainly not the one to listen to. Even Huma came out today and said that Hillary's had a problem forgetting a lot of things. I guess so. But you know, back to what Jim was saying, that you know, even right now what's happening in the G20 nation over there where they're meeting in Turkey, the whole bunch of them, Holland from France and Cameron from UK and Obama from the United States and so forth, they're all gathering around who? Vladimir Putin. They're all flocking to Putin saying, would you come and help us fight this enemy of ISIS? Well, frankly, it was Putin who went into Syria and said, hey, I'm sick and tired of this. Let me take these guys on. Now, there is an oddity. There is an extreme oddity of things that are taking place, because even the headline news right now are saying is that it appears that this freeze between Putin and Obama, between Russia and the United States, is all of a sudden thawed, and the president is laughing and smiling with Putin, and the ask there is, please, Vladimir Putin, the world's leaders are saying, please, would you come help us get rid of ISIS? I mean, gentlemen, what a mixed up bag we are in.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, my philosophy on this, I'd rather fight them in the Mideast than fight them in the Midwest.
You got that right. But, you know, if we don't fight them in the Mideast, we will be fighting them in the Midwest. In fact, we don't have too much time left. But, Jeremy, you have been perusing the statement that ISIS has put out in taking responsibility. Are there some highlights you can share with us that shows this danger?
Yeah, real quickly, I think something we need to be paying attention to, one of the last paragraphs here, let France and all nations following its path know that they will continue to be at the top of the target list for the Islamic State and that the scent of death will not leave their nostrils as long as they partake in the Crusader campaign. And I think it's interesting to note that they see this as a crusade against them. That's their perspective, and I think we need to be aware of that. No matter what we do, they're going to see it as a religious thing. There's nothing we can do to avoid that.
And it's only going to get stronger until we get over there and shut it down. They don't need to be contained. They need to be destroyed. Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to take a break for about 3 minutes, and then we will be back with more Stand in the Gap Today from the American Pastors Network. We're delighted to have you with us. Go get another cup of coffee. We'll be back in about 3 minutes. We'll be here waiting for you.
Kings or Parliament could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source, from the King of Kings and Lord of all the earth. They are not annexed to us by parchments and seals. They are created in us by the decrees of Providence which establish the law of our nature. They are born with us, exist with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives. A quote from John Dickinson, 1804.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Dave Anthony. President Obama calls the terror attacks in Paris a setback in the fight against ISIS, but there has been progress, and he's not changing strategy, saying he hears his critics.
Talking as if they're tough, but I haven't seen particular strategies that they would suggest that would make a real difference.
The president wrapping up the G20 summit in Turkey, saying the U.S. is streamlining intelligence sharing with France.
Because we need to be doing everything we can to protect more attack, protect against more attacks.
Republican presidential candidate John Kasich tells Fox.
There's so many different things that need to be done, and I'm disappointed the president, he hasn't done it.
One thing Kasich wants, a no-fly zone in Syria. Donald Trump says it's time Americans reconsider some civil liberties and the government should increase surveillance in and around mosques. This is a Fox News alert.
WFYL. From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. There's pending legislation in Harrisburg that threatens religious liberty, putting at risk Christian schools, faith-based ministries, and even Christian-run businesses. The proposal is called the Fairness Act, but in truth what it would do is equate the biblical view of human sexuality, specifically in the area of marriage, as the same as racial bigotry. Christian schools would be severely restricted in hiring decisions and policies, and no longer be free to make those decisions based on scriptural perspectives on marriage. Professional licenses would be denied to people who refuse to agree that the union of two men or two women is the same as marriage between a man and a woman. School locker rooms and public restrooms will be forced to open to people of the opposite sex who identify otherwise. Bottom line, the bills are dangerous to religious liberty and tolerance. Take action by finding out more at our website at pafamily.org and going to our Citizen Action Center.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's a delight to have you there by the radio as we continue our discussion here on what's been taking place with ISIS over in Europe. and some of the concerns that we have here in the United States of America, particularly in light of the position that it seems as though Barack Obama is taking. And before we went into the break, I had asked Jeremy Lundmark to give me a statement or two, or give us a statement or two, from the statement that ISIS put out claiming responsibility for that terrible thing that took place in Paris on Friday. Jeremy, you want to add to that, though?
I wanted to sort of turn our attention to the beginning of what they said and make some comments for believers in Christ. They said, Allah said they thought that their fortresses would protect them from Allah, but Allah came upon them from where they had not expected, and he cast terror into their hearts. And when I read that just now, I thought to myself, a mighty fortress is our God. The fortresses that they're attacking are not the fortresses that we as believers in Christ put our faith and trust in. And their objective to put terror into our hearts, I hope, has utterly failed. For believers in Christ, we have absolutely nothing to fear from them. They did not gain an inch on the kingdom of Christ. Certainly, they've done some impact in the world, and that's something that the United States of America has to hopefully step up and take care of. But when we look at this from a Christian standpoint and as a pastor, I want to encourage people who maybe were sitting there for 3 hours watching this play out, that we have nothing to fear, that we have confidence in Jesus Christ, and the fortresses that they're bombing and they're attacking are not where we put our hope.
Well, that's absolutely true. Our hope is in the Lord. But you know, the interesting thing, Dave, that I have heard from time to time, you know, not just over this past weekend, but even prior to that, is the idea that as Christians, we, you know, well, even as a nation, we shouldn't try to push back ISIS. You know, just let God take care of us and sort of take a position of being a pacifist. What are your thoughts on that, Dave?
Well, Gary, over the course of the weekend, I got into a little bit of a lengthy discussion on Facebook, which is something I don't typically ever do. However, the gentleman who was taking me to task for making some comments about ISIS and about Islam and the evil that is ISIS, he basically said to me this. He said, you know, really, as Christians, we should take an approach of loving them to Christ and not fighting back, even if they come to take our nation or even if they come to take our families away from us and to kill our children. There is a cause that's bigger than that, that we surrender our country, we surrender our families to this ISIS entity in the United States of America. And typically I would not respond to something like that publicly, but when somebody puts something that insane, and I'm going to use that term, out there into the public sector, then I felt like I needed to respond in kind in the public marketplace of Facebook, so I did. Gary, there is a growing, tragically, a growing thought out there that the way to win this war is to win it by doing nothing against the evil that is ISIS. Now, please don't misunderstand. The people that are enslaved in this Islamic ideology, we do need to love them, of course, and we do need to endeavor to reach them with the gospel. But when you're talking about an evil ideology, you resist that on every front. And it goes to the heart of an issue that I know you know, is something maybe for another time. Maybe we do want to delve into it today, and that is this. Is there such a thing as a just war against Israel? One of the things, Gary, I'm seeing is this. There's a rejection of the God of the Old Testament, who was a God of justice, and this attempt to embrace...
Hold on a second, Dave. You said, is there a just war against Israel? Is that what you really meant?
Islam. Against Islam.
You said Israel. I hate to interrupt, but...
No, that's okay. No, want to make sure we get that clarified. Is there a just war against Islam? The attempt, Gary, to embrace this vision, this view of Jesus as the loving Savior and the tender Savior who would never do anything, that would be deemed violent. There is a misunderstanding of the nature of God with respect to evil. And I hope you understand what I'm saying and where I'm going with this.
Well, I do understand where you're going with that, and you know, all we do need to do is to read the Word of God, and we see that very, very clearly. You know, talking about this, though, Jeremy, when is war moral?
Well, I think it's very clear in Scripture that the government, Romans chapter 13, is given the right and the responsibility to bear the sword against evil. We determine what evil is by looking at the Scripture, the Ten Commandments, for example. And I know Muslims will look at that and go, oh, well, you're just looking to your religious book. But that's the standard by which this country has been built on, and you're in it. So the government has a responsibility. And for people who are talking about what Dave just said, oh, well, Jesus is loving, God is loving, and we shouldn't have any negative aspect. They need to read the scriptures. They need to read the book of Revelation and recognize Jesus Christ is holy and God the Father is holy, and he has gone to war against evil many times in scripture. And that responsibility has been handed over to governments, and the right thing to do is for them to act, not to stand back like we're doing right now.
And Gary, can I jump in here as well?
On that yesterday, I think, somewhere along the line. Sam?
Can I jump in here? Because I think this discussion here bears a one step further clarification. This is a confusing area. I know, Gary, as you said, Dave, as you're saying, I am hearing people who otherwise, I would say, are good Christian people who believe and who are believers, but they are taking an odd position. I believe that this is the clarifying point. One of it is the understanding of the whole authority structure that we would call our home church, civil government, and the family and the individual, these institutions of authority, and the jurisdictions that they have. The responsibility of civil government is not the same as the responsibility of the individual. In other words, the responsibility of civil government is, as Jeremy just said, it bears the sword. Its primary objective is the enactment of justice, praising those who do well, punishing those who do evil, carrying out God's moral standard. That is the function of civil government. That has within it the protection of its citizens. If a civil government does not understand that an ideology that wishes and prays for its demise, Islamic efforts towards the Western world and towards Israel, that that is not a function that comes up against government. I mean, what is Obama lacking? He's lacking a biblical understanding of the role and the purpose of government and God's moral law in the definition of justice. There should be no question what we're doing. But as an individual next door, if I have a Muslim neighbor, same as I have a homosexual neighbor, I'm going to reach out to them, and I'm going to show them the love of Christ. I'm going to have them in my home. I'm going to witness to them. I'm going to share with them that the same Christ who saved me can save them and redeem them, the only way they will have a chance to go to heaven. But that is different than the function of government. If we don't understand this, gentlemen, we're going to confuse these critical, important areas.
Sam, if I can jump in there just for a second, I think it's important for people to understand the difference in that between Christianity and Islam, because Islam does not make those distinctions. Christianity fundamentally has those distinctions where Islam doesn't. So for them, when we call on the government to stand up, they hear us calling for a religious thing. And scripturally speaking, it's not a religious thing. That's a civil thing that God has put in place, separating those two things. So I think it's important, as you just said, to separate those powers as the scriptures do.
You know, Jeremy, what you just said is a powerful statement, and Sam, what you just said is absolutely outstanding. That is basically the way I responded to this gentleman who was confusing the two. And gentlemen, here is the dilemma. This kind of thing that, Sam, you just shared, this role of civil government to praise the good, to punish evil, is vastly different than the individual response, which should be of love and an attempt to share the gospel with anyone enslaved in a false ideology. The lack of preaching on this topic is what has put us in this confusing place today, which puts an incredible burden on preachers of the gospel to wade right into the middle of this and address it forthrightly.
You know, I wonder how many pastors across America preached on this subject yesterday in light of what took place in Paris. I know I did. And if anybody is interested in hearing it, why, you can go to www.fbcaltuna.org. and click on there. That's www.fbcaltuna.org, and you know, see what my response was to this whole concept from the biblical perspective. And I brought out the fact from Romans chapter 13 that it's the government's responsibility to deal with this,
right?
Not to take a step of passivity or to back off, but the government has a direct responsibility. Unfortunately, under Barack Obama, Jim, that responsibility is being squandered.
Well, I think so, and also we've seen attacks against pastors who have had any sniff of a biblical teaching that tries to relate government to the Bible, because, you know, we've had people arrested. They've lost their tax-exempt status because they're trying to somehow interpret these things in light of Scripture, and they're saying, no, 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 you can't do that. But yet, on the other side, the very liberal side, they're going into these very liberal churches and actually campaigning from the pulpit, but that's okay. You know, it's crazy.
You know, I don't want to bring unnecessary fear into the hearts and the minds of people. I don't want to be called a terrorist, but Sam, I've got a question for you that I would like for you to think about as we go into the break. What we see taking place over in Europe right now, in Paris and France and Syria and Russia and Turkey, could we see the foundation being laid for World War III, Samuel? And when we come back, I'm sure you'll have a profound answer to that. And so we'll give it some thought. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Stand in the Gap today from the American Pastors Network. I'm Gary Dull. Don't go away. Sam is going to be having some serious statements about the possibility of World War III when we come back. Stay tuned.
Have a 401k and are unsure what to do with it? Are your retirement savings actively managed? Hi, this is Mark Magruder, an enrolled agent, tax advisor, and wealth manager at the Life Financial Group, a wealth management firm specializing in helping successful Christian families make wise financial decisions so they can better provide for their families, plan for retirement, and fund kingdom ministries. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, "It is required of stewards that they be found faithful." If you'd like to work with someone of like faith in the areas of taxes, investments, insurance, retirement, or discuss Social Security and estate planning, give me a call to set up a comprehensive financial review at no cost to you. Call me today, 1-800-688-5800. That's 800-688-5800. Or visit us online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, member FINRA and SIPC.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
In Psalm 39:7, King David said, "My hope is in the Lord." David's hope wasn't some idle wish. It was a solid confidence that kept him going in the worst of times. Where's your hope? Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. Having a fixed and certain hope in the Lord is beyond value and measure in our walk with God. It's said that if you take away a man's wealth, you'll hinder him. If you take away a man's purpose, you'll slow him. But if you take away a man's hope, you'll stop him. That's why our personal walk with God must be more than theory. It must be more than a once-a-week prayer or an occasional Bible reading. Our walk with God must revolve around the person of Jesus Christ and a daily walk led of the Spirit of God, not of our ambitions, our goals, or our finances. I'm Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network. Can you say with the psalmist, "I will be unmoved because my hope is in the Lord"?
Join the Pennsylvania Pastors Network at papastors.net.
PA Leadership Charter School. Lead, don't follow.
There are over 42,000 cyber school students in Pennsylvania. Miss Philadelphia 2015 was a 2009 graduate of Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School. Athletes, actors, musicians, scholars, and community leaders appreciate the flexible schedule cyber school offers, so they can pursue their passions, become independent learners, critical thinkers, and empowered leaders. Learn more today. Visit www.palcs.org or call 1-877-725-2785. That's www.palcs.org for Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School.
PA Leadership Charter School.
Follow. Oh, 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 oh.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And Sam, I gave you a question to consider before we went into the break. Could we see, and I know that you're not a prophet nor the son of a prophet, but with what's taking place over there, could we see the foundation being laid for a third world war? I mean, even as you compare it to the build-up to the second world war?
Well, Gary, I think in every way we can. There's a number of things that already indicate that that is the case. One, we know biblically that as we approach end days that there will be wars and rumors of wars, which means there will be wars. Not just rumors, there are going to be wars. So those things are going to be on the increase, number one. Number two, frankly, we're already in a series of wars. It hasn't actually gone to the point where you could say tremendous devastation of life, although when you look at the Middle East, there have already been an extensive devastation of life. So there have been a lot of life already. But Gary, the Western world, our nation, our leaders, the Western world seem to be bent on destabilization. The European Union, its commitment to the New World Order, which is what the G20 is about and the meetings coming up are all about. I mean, they've made it clear they want a world currency. They want a world tax, the energy tax. They want world economic control. The Pope is involved in pushing for all of this because the religious overtones, religious control. This whole thing is happening. We know that biblically. It is well down the road. And gentlemen, when the nations of Europe, the European Union, Peter Sutherland, who actually came up with the European Union, with these and others, were actually imploring Poland and Germany and France, open the doors, let all of these Muslims in the Middle East come up through Turkey and into the Middle East, up into the Europe, with the majority of them, it is known, are military age males. Yeah, there's some women and children mixed in the group, but these are fighters. Gentlemen, this is a strategy, not by accident, it's by design to destabilize the nations of the West into which you can have a powerful government come. But there's conflict in this because Russia's not going along with it. Putin has said that the European Union is run by Satanists. He said he's not going to bow down to their desire to bring world government. The makings are there for conflict, and we know we've been bumping up against Russia. The United States is bumping up against China militarily. These elements of conflict are absolutely broiling, and that's why you are seeing many, many people talk in terms of World War III. Matter of fact, I'll stop with this. Just 2 weeks ago, there were a couple of subcommittees in Washington, congressional subcommittees, that were talking about some of this, and they were using the terminologies of World War III in those committees. So, gentlemen, no, war is at the doorstep when we do not do what God says, and governments do not do what they are to do regarding justice as measured and articulated by the God of heaven. When that does not happen, it will only lead to war.
Sam, I agree with you 100%. And, you know, I think one of you said that, well, we haven't seen that many deaths yet, but I think we have. There have been four times more people killed in Syria by Assad than we lost in Vietnam already. Four times more. 200,000 people have already been killed in Syria due to Assad. So, and also, if you listen to the news the last day or two, the president of France has declared war. Okay, he has
That's
declared
right.
war. So, I mean,
That's
we
correct.
Are at war now.
That's
it's
leadership.
Not, yes, I mean, yeah. I'll wait for the day when our president would say something like that, but I don't think it's going to happen.
That day
but,
will never come, Jim.
Excuse me?
That day will never come.
Not while he's in the White House. That's correct. But I do hope and pray that God will rise up somebody, bring someone along who will call a spade a shovel, so to speak, and call this for what it is, But I do believe that if you look at Bible prophecy, I think for decades, maybe for a couple of generations, we have believed that the Antichrist, if you would come out of the common market, because that was sort of the obvious group of, 10 nations. Now it's become 15, 16, 17, 18, and now you got the G20, and, where does it stop? But if you look a little more carefully now, it could very well be that he could come out of the Arab states. If you've read some of these books I can't remember his name right now, but anyway, he's written a book.
Waleed
Shobat. I met him down in Florida a couple of years ago, and this gentleman is a believer. He was not for many years. He was a Muslim who was trying to argue about Islam to the Christian community, so he decided to read the Bible. And after he read the Bible intensely for quite a while, he realized all of a sudden he was on the wrong side. He was looking forward to this person coming that the great Mufti. And as he read Scripture, he realized, wait a minute, this great Mufti sounds an awful lot like the man of sin, the Antichrist. Mm-hmm. And after a lot more, shall we say, prayer and the reading, he realized that he was on the wrong side and now is an outspoken Christian.
Well, and we're going to have to wrap up the program here, Dave. We're talking about ISIS and the spread of ISIS, and Jeremy read to us about what their goal is. And, of course, we realize that they want to establish a worldwide caliphate. There's no doubt about that. But, we've got people listening to us here today who might be concerned and should be concerned. So as we go toward wrapping up the program today, let me ask you this. Number one, what must we as individual citizens do in the United States of America to prepare ourselves for some sort of an ISIS attack? And then secondly, just give us a few words on how we can find our strength in the Lord as we conclude.
Well, Gary, I'm going to say what Nehemiah said. In Nehemiah chapter number 4, the Bible says in verse 11 that they made their prayer unto their God, and they set a watch against the enemy day and night. And so I would encourage Americans, not out of fear, but out of appropriate exercise of caution. We need to pray for God's mercy on America. We need to certainly pray for our national leaders that God will cause an awakening in their minds and in their hearts. And we need to pray for our president. Gentlemen, we have a man in the White House who is defiant against the God of heaven. He needs our prayers that God will do to him what God did to Nebuchadnezzar of old, and humble him and bring him to his senses to where he acknowledges his need for God's wisdom. So we pray, Gary. We pray for protection on our families. We pray for protection on our nation, but we also need to do this. We do need to set a watch. We need to be aware of what's going on around us. We need to demand of our national leaders that they do what they are in office to do, and that is first and foremost, protect the American citizenry. That is absolutely essential. And Gary, I am encouraged that there seems to be an awakening, not just on the part of those in Congress, but even on parts of those in the media that are beginning to call out the president for his completely inept response up to this point relative to this entity called ISIS and to Islamic extremism. I want to say this, Gary. The bottom line is this. We know the end of the book, what the scripture has to say. We do come out victorious. I don't say that flippantly or casually. Our confidence is in our God. The people that do know their God, the scripture says, shall be strong and do exploits. So we need to be aware of what's going on around us, pray, but live our lives courageously, knowing that we do so in the power of our God. And until God is through with us, Gary, we individually are invincible.
And indispensable. And Romans chapter 8 and verse 37 tells us that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. And that's true. Ladies and gentlemen, that is absolutely true. That's something to believe and hold on to. Well, folks, we want to thank you very much for being with us today, and the Lord willing, we will be back in about 23 hours with the Tuesday edition of Stand in the Gap Today from the American Pastors Network. On behalf of Dave and Sam and Jim and Jeremy, I'm Gary, saying have a good day, keep looking up, stand in the gap for faith and freedom. The best is yet to come, and there's no doubt about it.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler, brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.